This morning, I'm here at Fairwood Retirement Village with Jerry Freeman, and I couldn't believe my luck yesterday when I ran into Jerry, and I mentioned Expo 74, and Jerry said, "Oh, I know all about Expo 74. That was my playground," and he went on to tell an even juicier story. So I cannot wait to hear Jerry's story and hear about his experience with Expo 74. We have so many residents here who have stories about Expo 74, but Jerry's actually one of our employees. He is our skilled carpenter who does an amazing job. We're so glad to have him on staff here. And I cannot believe my luck that Jerry wanted to talk to me about Expo 74. Jerry, can you introduce yourself and then just tell us your involvement in Expo 74?
I'm Jerry Freeman. And Expo 74 was that area. I grew up in that area before Expo 74 was there, and went to Our Lady of Lourdes elementary school. And so it was blocks away, and downtown was a place I was very familiar with, and the Spokane River in particular, and the bridges. But anyways, so then along came Expo 74.
How old were you when the Expo came to town?
18.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, it's been 50 years. That means you're 68 years old. I'm so grateful. The best stories are coming from people who were between maybe 18 and 35 years old, because they really had this experience different than if you were a small child, or, you know, if somebody gets to be a certain age, they may not remember everything, you know, whether that's just normal forgetting over time. But as you get older, it's normal to forget. And Fairwood has an enormous amount of engagement with the Alzheimer's Association and the Walk to End Alzheimer's. The reason we're recording these stories is because we know that memories go. So we're excited to get your memories while you have them. And let's hope you have them for a long, long time, or maybe for the rest of your life. So, Jerry, what was the river like before and after the Expo?
Well, actually, it really wasn't a whole lot different. The river was the constant, you know. I mean, since I knew it so well, the spring runoff was the most exciting. It was so profound to be feet away from the
massive. Oh, it was probably raging, right?
Yeah, raging, the massive. And it would, if anything, as a young teenager running around, anything could stop me in my tracks.
It was the river.
The power of that river. But really, they did a great job of making the river and it being a big part of Expo, you know, because it was about the environment. Expo 74 is one of their big, the big theme was the environment. And
yeah.
So the river just lent itself really nicely to that.
So the area near where the clock tower is now, that used to be the train station and railroad business over there, did you see that transformation happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you describe it before and after?
Yeah. First of all, we as kids were never supposed to be there, because it was where a lot of, in those days, we called homeless bums, mm-hmm. and, you know, lived. They would literally live in the boxcars that were pushed off, because that area was not used anymore, but they would push cars, train cars, in there.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, because we came to know those guys, and it was a whole different world. And they would actually come to the church for meals. And we ended up, of course, like I said, we weren't supposed to be there. And most of the adults figured it was a very scary and ruthless place. But it wasn't at all. It was these were good people that didn't have home, and they weren't.
Were they mostly like men who were traveling itinerant workers?
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Most of them, they weren't homeless forever type. They were traveling. Like many years ago, people would jump the trains and go somewhere to go to work, you know? And
yeah.
A lot of these guys were, trans in transit, but they just,
I heard people describe them as, instead of homeless, hobos.
Yeah,
we're going hobo. From job that's to job word. And would ride the rails.
That's the word I was looking for.
I remember I grew up in the 70s, so I was only 1 year old at the end of the fair. So I was not there, but I am fascinated by the history of the fair, and I want nothing more than to learn about it. But I, you know, in the 70s, it was very popular to have television shows that kind of romanticized the hobos jumping the cars. And, you know, I grew up listening to 8 tracks. In the car of Boxcar Willie, and you know, kind of that whole idea of the traveling life of the hobo, how it was a sad life but freedom. So when people talk about the men who rode the rails and went from job to job, I probably have a skewed idea of it too. But you know, as a kid, I can see how you were curious and wanted to know what it was about.
Well, it was my neighborhood. I mean, I literally walked to. We lived on 8th and Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
so we walked to school or rode our bikes every day. And of course, naturally, we expanded out around the cathedral, which is where the school used to be,
mm-hmm.
and everything in downtown Spokane. And I forget what my point was, but being curious was part of it, but it was just
part of your life. Yeah, it was your neighborhood.
Our neighborhood. We would go down to the river. I believe the park down there is called Glover Park. That's where we played sports and everything. And that's, you know, that's a whole trek from the school, the church, down to the river. But that's, and then we, you know, so everywhere around there, you know.
So that was before. And then what was it like after Expo 74 or during when they cleaned it up and developed the whole park? I mean, did you see a massive transformation, and what did that, how did that go during the transformation?
Well, it was huge. Now, by then, of course, I was 18, as I said, so I didn't see it on a day-to-day basis because I was employed by a contractor who was helping build.
So you helped build Expo 74?
I was involved, yeah.
So which aspects did you help develop?
Well, I was working for an electrical contractor, Electric Smith. And you can't hardly...
Jerry, did we know that you're an electrician?
And I'm not.
You're not, okay.
No, because I was... the carpenters snagged me up.
Okay. And that's... Jerry is the epitome of measure twice, cut once. And we're so lucky to have him here. We always know if Jerry does a job, it will be just right. So it's wonderful that all started at 18. No wonder you're so good at it.
It started a lot, long time before that.
That's
why the carpenters snagged me up.
Oh, because you already knew.
Well, I certainly didn't have the skills that, you know, officially, but older friend in our neighborhood and I, we decided to build forts. We built forts, and these were no ordinary forts. These forts had foundations and crawl spaces and lofts. And at one point we built one in a tree that got so big and so heavy that the garbage truck couldn't get down the alley, and we got called home from school to
for building
get it.
Big forts.
So anyways, yeah, that's a little side story there. But as far as the transition down there, it was amazing and wonderful to see that. Because as a kid, it didn't bother me when it was Hobo Town, but it was huge.
Yeah.
And the guy that figured it out, I think he, forgetting his name, owned the newspaper.
Oh, the gentleman who had the whole idea to have...
Yeah.
Oh, it was King Cole.
King Cole.
Yeah.
And it was genius.
It was genius.
And as a young person, I didn't realize the genius of that.
It wasn't just genius. It was like against all odds and against all advice and against every obstacle. Mm-hmm. And he made it happen. He was so courageous and such a visionary.
Do you know that my dad was mad because the Spokane voters voted it down 3 times. Yeah. 3 times.
There were lots of people who said, this will ruin Spokane. This will mm-hmm. be the worst thing ever. It's going to be a disaster.
It was quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. So one of the reasons I first got interested in telling the stories and hearing the stories of the Expo was because I heard that story. And anytime I hear a story about somebody who has a vision or idea or believes in something big that can be good, and then they have to face all those obstacles and make it happen against all odds to the success of everybody and to the benefit of everybody, that's the story I want to hear. And it's a story I want to tell. But beyond that, I moved to Spokane 11 years ago. And I get to enjoy Spokane the way it is now. And I get to enjoy the park. And I get to enjoy all the good that came out of that one man's vision. And he's gone. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. But my family and I are enjoying the benefits, right? And you got to enjoy the benefits. And everybody gets to enjoy the benefits of one man's vision. I was astonished to see a interview with King Cole, who said when it was all said and done and the expo was over, he was just glad it was over. So that was funny to me too. Yeah, but you know, anytime somebody puts on any kind of event, which I do constantly, big or small, you're just glad when it's over and that everything went well. But it didn't occur to me that that's how he would feel because it's so big, so massive. So I think the stories are important to tell. And you and I know, because we work around residents all the time who have lost their stories and have forgotten. I think it's important to capture them while they're there. And they won't always be there. And Jerry, maybe someday your great-great-grandchildren will listen to this podcast. And they'll feel differently about the park. And they'll feel differently about Spokane and the expo and the town they live in. And they'll get to hear your voice telling your story, which is the goal of capturing the story, so that they live longer and they live after we forget them. So Jerry, let's get to the juicy part. So yesterday we released a podcast with Raymond Pendel, who was in his cop phase and became a security patrol officer at the fair. And he did not want to guard the gate. He wanted to be more like a beat cop, and he wanted to go around and walk around the fair. And he was charged with taking care of people who snuck into the fair. He was the finder of lost children and the returner of them. And he is a social gentleman who really loved the social aspect and wanted to walk around and do that. And he told many stories to us about instances of capturing people who were sneaking into the fair. And at the end of the podcast, I said, let's find him. Let's find the one man you arrested, because he only ever arrested one because he had to do 3 pages of paperwork and he never wanted to have to do the paperwork again. And then not an hour later, Jerry, you told me your story. So let's hear it.
Okay. Well, that was 74. I was working for Electric Smith, who was the electrical contractor there for the construction of Expo 74. And I had an apartment a few miles north of the fair at that time, downtown. And I knew the whole lay of the land and the river and all that. So I drove down and I didn't want to park in downtown. So I parked on the north side and of the river. And so I got out and I just didn't want to walk all the way to the entrance, the back entrance, which I had a key to. I could walk in and get into a golf cart and drive around Expo 74, no problem. I didn't want to walk that far. And so, and I just got paid. So I had a pocket full of money.
Uh-huh.
In 73 or 74, $83 was a lot of money.
Is that how much it cost to get in?
No, that's what I had in my pocket.
Oh, good.
No. It was like $2 or $1.70 or something to get in. Anyways, so I took a shortcut. The river was mostly dry, the bed. Sometimes they shut the river off for short times in the summer.
And there was a drought that year. Historic drought.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that might have been part of the reason that the riverbed was so dry. So coming from the north side, I decided, I took one look and I said, well, I'll just walk across the riverbed. So I walked down the bank and across the riverbed and up the bank and over a little short rock wall. And I was in, and there was a guy standing there with a uniform. I think he had a uniform. And he says, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And I said, well, I'll pay. And he says, yeah, okay, well, come with me. So I followed him into some office somewhere.
Would you say this was in the month of June?
Well, I don't know for sure what month. No. June. Well, wait a minute. I did actually turn 18 on July 31st, so I may have been 17. Anyways, I'm trying to put it, remember.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I was 18. No, it wasn't June, because I had just turned 18.
When is your birthday?
July 31st.
Okay.
And so that was the big concern, is that now I could be charged.
Yeah.
As an adult.
So what happened after he said, come with me?
Well, I just followed him to an office, figured I'd be paying and get a talking to.
Yeah.
And
like you used to when you were 17.
They stuffed me into a, I don't remember how we got there, but I ended up at the police station.
Did you go to the YMCA first?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we went straight to the police station.
Okay.
And I guess they booked me, and a bondsman came, and interestingly enough, it was $83 to get out of jail.
Well, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Did they know how much money you had in your pocket?
Yeah. Yes.
And then they said, that's going to be $83.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that I had to empty my pockets.
Yeah, I had a similar experience as a kid when we were in Mexico. With a youth group. We got pulled over for making an illegal U-turn. Kelly Shattuck, please, if you're listening, reach out to me and we'll tell that story again. But I remember there was a transaction of funds that matched the exact amount that we had.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
And that was the cost of the fine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so did you spend time in jail or you were just released?
Well, you talk about memories. I may have been in a cell for a very short time. I may
but
have.
But you didn't spend the night or or 3 days or anything?
Nope. But then they did put something like illegal entry on my record.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even sure if that's still there.
Yeah.
I think
well, it was 50 years ago.
Yeah. And it just really wasn't that serious.
Maybe not worth the paper at the time. Now that everything's digital, it can live. But the paper...
Yeah. So anyways, that's...
Feel like your involvement with the hobos of the time led to your life of crime of sneaking into the fair, Jerry?
Well, it most certainly could be a piece of that because I felt entitled. The whole place was my yard.
Yeah.
The whole riverbank and river and that... area was literally a stone's throw from the cathedral where I was at. And we walked right by it when we'd go down to Glover Park all the time. We'd walk right by it. And so I literally did not feel like I was doing anything wrong.
You were just walking
I'm just going.
Taking the short
I'm path. Just taking the shorter route to get to my front yard.
Were you there when Nixon opened the fair?
I wasn't present. No.
Okay. So you didn't see our resident, Mike Arnold, release the fish into the river?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay. Well, you can hear his story on another episode, and it's wonderful. Hmm. So for some of these people who were there, Nixon wasn't their man.
Yeah.
And as Dina puts it, he wasn't anybody's man for long.
No, that's
so
right.
He opened the fair but didn't close it. So we're always curious to know if we have somebody who was there for him opening the fair. I have seen the video of it. I've seen the footage because they have it at the Museum of Arts and Culture here in Spokane. And you can go and watch it there, which is great. And that might be something you like to do, Jerry, because it's very cheap to get in. And you can sit down and you can watch a series. I think they have 5 different chunks of footage that are essential to remembering the fair. So that's kind of a fun thing to do. You just sit and watch it, and it's on the wall there. And there's memorabilia. So that's fun to do. So you might like to do that. You might be able to say, oh, that's where I did that, or I built that, or, hey, that's where I was arrested.
Yeah.
And possibly by Raymond Pendel. We don't know. The other thing I wanted to ask about, do you remember the technology that was introduced at the fair? That was the other big focus, was introducing new technology and bringing that to the world. Do you have any memories of technology that you saw there that we're using now? Most people say no.
Well, in general, I'd have to think about that for a bit. Something might come to me, but what I do recall is that so much of what was introduced is so far, antiquated
that now it's gone long.
It's hilarious. It's like watching an old 60s cop show.
Okay.
The cars and the technology and all that stuff were just, you know.
It's already long gone.
We look at it now and it's absurd.
Do you remember the new cars that were introduced at the fair?
I remember about them in general.
But you don't remember anything like details. That's fine. Do you remember the garbage goat?
Oh, God, yes.
Indeed. Were you feeding garbage like crazy to that thing?
Yeah, that was, that was a very, I don't know how that thing got so popular.
It's fascinating. Never in my life have I ever imagined anything like the garbage goat. So when I met the garbage goat,
kids there, and the kids just loved it. But some of it scared some of the kids.
Well, it's got an incredible amount of suction power.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. So when I first was introduced to the garbage goat, in my mind, I'm like, what do you mean garbage goat? And then when I was introduced to it and I start feeding it leaves or whatever I can find, it was just fascinating because it's actually very beautiful. I mean, it's an incredible sculpture, and then the function of it. So,
yeah. Well, and that goes to show you the quaintness of some of the presentations and their time.
Yeah.
And that in the time that they were there, because that was a way to try to reduce massive amounts of garbage all over the place.
And the funnest way I've ever seen to throw garbage away.
And all of us, including myself, now I've brought my children and my grandchildren to feed the goat.
I know. And isn't that funny? Because if you're in Spokane and you don't know what to do and you've got kids, or if it's you've got visitors or you're visiting Spokane, you need something to do. I'm telling you, it is the silliest thing. But if you go downtown to the park, walk around and enjoy it, enjoy the clock tower, enjoy the park, enjoy that little short walk, which is, by the way, the walk to end Alzheimer's route. It's just that loop around the park. Anybody can do it. And feed the garbage goat, you'll never forget it. It's so much fun. You don't have to spend any money. It's a beautiful sculpture. It's a piece of Spokane history, and it's a piece of Expo 74. And really, I mean, I don't know who could have ever imagined that thing. Do you know how it works? Because I don't understand the vacuum suction and how it can be that effective. And where does the garbage go, and then what happens?
Well, that's kind of the thing. I don't really know that. The technology, other than simply it's a vacuum system, but obviously that garbage has to be collected and then gotten rid of, so
yeah. And maybe it's compacted, but
yeah, it might be.
Boy, what a fun way to throw garbage away. A lot more fun than in a garbage can. I don't recommend bringing your garbage downtown.
No,
but if you see something, or if you have a little wrapper in your pocket or something, it's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it was interesting to watch people run around and pick up little pieces of paper, to go back.
But so if you had to summarize the change in Spokane before and after Expo and the benefit to Spokane or the impact on your life, how would you describe it?
Well,
besides becoming a criminal day.
Very serious. No, there's no question that on any scale, any way you look at it, and many who live here now or were younger and lived here, whatever, it's hard to appreciate really how devastating that whole, I guess this is called Havermail Island,
mm-hmm.
How devastated it was.
Yeah.
It was a big dust bowl with old train cars, that occasionally they'd move in and out of there. And even the clock tower, the building that was around it, most of it was just not being used. And it was a blight, really, a huge blight on downtown Spokane. And like we talked earlier, the genius of taking that and turning it into something gorgeous, because it had the river running through in two different locations. And
yeah.
So all I can say for long term is that it, yeah, my kids today get me gifts. In fact, when you brought up the garbage, you go, I've got pictures of the clock tower and the pavilion, you know, and the garbage goat and everything you can think of from Spokane, because they knew that I loved going down there, and I took them down there, and the carousel. Oh my gosh.
The loop carousel.
I even had a sister who used to work on a crew that would touch up the carousel.
Oh.
She actually worked on those, is it Loof?
The Loof carousel.
The Loof. Mm-hmm. That's the name. That is just fantastic. And all of those things, to be able to have our, when our city fills up downtown for events, and people can spill out and go into this wonderful...
And anybody can use that
park,
stuff.
You know, in Seattle, they got the big water and a lot of stuff down there, but this is, we've got this beautiful river.
Now we can go enjoy it in a beautiful park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we can take our children and our grandchildren and our guests and our visitors. Jerry, do you go downtown currently for anything, or do you go down to the park?
I always have. I can't say that in the last couple of years I've been down there even close to as much as...
Yeah, you know, and why not?
Well, mostly because I'm up on the north side, and, well, quite frankly, as you said, at 68 years old, jumping in the car and racing around, it just
it's not as fun as it used to be. Are you planning on going downtown and being part of any of the 50th celebration for Expo?
I hadn't made definite plans, but when I heard that they were going to have several months of things, things going on, then I'm very seriously thinking about, you know, finding out if there's something that I might want to go.
Well, for sure, go check out the exhibit at the Museum of Arts and Culture, because they're doing quite a bit. But there is a calendar available for all the events, and that calendar is growing. So as businesses and as organizations kind of jump on and decide how they can participate, that calendar fills up. So there's going to be lots of things to do. I will be there on June 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with the North Spokane Rotary. And I'm sure there's going to be lots going on that day, but it would be great for you to go down and maybe you get to share your stories with somebody.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in sharing your story on Remembering Expo 74, or if you want to know more about Fairwood Retirement Village, please reach out to me. My name is Sheila Fritz. You can reach me at Fairwood Retirement Village at 467-2365. Of course, the area code is 509 here in Spokane. Thank you, Jerry, for telling your story.
Well, thank you.
We're glad to have you here at Fairwood. And it sounds like your crime was not that serious, so we'll let it slide.
Okay.